Good evening, everyone. It's been like a long time since I've been here on a night. That probably doesn't look good for me. Thank you for coming. I was told I should do a thing on Psalm 64. And I read Psalm 64, and I thought about it, and I read it again. I thought about it a little more, and I thought, I don't think I can really do anything with this. So go ahead and pretend that I gave a rousing lesson on Psalm 64. It basically boiled down to God is our defender, our protector, and will fight our battles and keep us safe. You're not going to get that here. So I hope you're ready. Instead, what you're going to get, and I'm happy Dave has been talking a lot about Ecclesiastes because we're going to focus an awful lot on nihilism and the meaning of life. Anyways, you guys have all been coming and attending regularly, I hope, to Sunday morning because Dave has been doing some great jobs in his morning sermons. Do I need to talk about Ecclesiastes? I probably should. So the author of Ecclesiastes is a cynic, and he questions the meaning of life. He ponders and gives thoughts that run straight counter to Proverbs, which says, if you do righteous things, if you follow my directives, you'll be blessed. You will see great rewards, and you'll be healthy and live a long time. But that's not always the case, and we know that. We know that to be true. And the author of Ecclesiastes certainly wants to point that out to us in painful, painstaking sentences. that's Ecclesiastes. And with so much of this discussion on meaninglessness and what is our purpose in this world, I think it's kind of pertinent that we understand that we acknowledge other people outside of the church that are also searching for meaning and also pondering their existence in this world. I find I have a horrible dry mouth, and I find that people are going to attach themselves to something, and that something will not always be a good thing. Sometimes those people will attach themselves to nihilism and take it a little too seriously. There's a popular show out right now. It's called Rick and Morty. And I can't, in good conscience, recommend that to any of you because it is crude and vulgar. But as a show, it's also witty and funny, and it has good character development. It's also crude and vulgar, so don't go watch it. There's a character that pops out of a little box when you push a button. His name is Mr. Meeseeks. He's a blue man. And he pops out and he says, I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me. And you give him something to do. He exists for one singular purpose in his life and the world. He appears, he does his job, then he's gone. Open that jar. Okay, here you go. Poof, gone. Now, if you give him something a little more complicated, like taking two strokes off your golf game, and you get frustrated and give up, he's going to get a little frustrated and might just try and take all the strokes off your golf game. That's to say, he might try and murder you. I wonder, what would it be like to exist for a singular purpose? What would my life look like? We were in New Zealand just recently we had a couple of days where we were free. We had nothing going on, and we just got to kind of decide what we do. Chesna booked all the other things. She had all the things she wanted to do. Hobbiton, go see where they filmed The Lord of the Rings, go to Hobbiton, go into a hobbit hole. We also did some blackwater rafting. That was a lot of fun. And what was the other thing we did off the trilogy tour? Hot springs. That was really cool. They cooked a lunch geothermally. That was really neat. But at the end of our week there, we had a couple days just to pick what we wanted to do. And so I was like, well, I don't know. So I looked in the little guide. I finally found something. I went to this little Scottish settlement. It was awesome. They had this World War memorial and all the history of that, just that little their colonization and their story. It was cool. But I had no purpose. I just had to find something to do for that day. And it was like, there's a lot of options. There's some limitations. Let's go do this one. It sounds cool. If someone came up to you and said, this is your goal in life, this is your job, would you just be able to put yourself singularly into that thing and defeat it, conquer it, help whoever you need to help to do it, find whoever needs help to do it? What if you decided that purpose had no meaning? It was worthless. Why even bother? So my purpose is now worthless. It's kind of the situation Mr. Meeseeks found himself in when Jerry gave up and decided he was too frustrated to try and take two strokes off his golf game, despite all the great advice they were giving him. Just tuck your shoulders back, Jerry. Everything will be fine. This show has a very powerful theme of nihilism that runs throughout. The titular character is just, he warps through dimensions and worlds and has infinite, there's infinite existences of himself and his family. So if he loses one, it's kind of like, I'll find another. The problem here is if people watching this show begin to take nihilism a little too seriously and they begin to kind of, that's what I'm looking for, feel not, no. Doug, help me. What's the word I'm looking for? If people become a little too, not empathetic or sympathetic, but relate, yeah, if they begin to relate a little too much. Thank you, Doug. I knew you would help me. If they begin to relate too much to this life of nihilism, where, you know, it really doesn't matter. We're all going to die anyway. No one exists on purpose. No one is alive for any reason. Just go watch TV. Paul has something that I found ran a little parallel to my train of thought here. In 1 Corinthians 9, it's going to start at verse, I think, 19, right there. Yes. 1 Corinthians 9. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, sorry, parentheses there threw me off. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. My point, and you might have missed it because I'm terrible at drawing connections sometimes, is if we don't understand a person who has become nihilistic, if we can't understand their train of thought or relate to them, we might as well not even try to help them because we don't know where they're coming from. We don't understand why they feel the way they do. All my life, I've been treading paper in the space between the words. There implied is that I'm but another body for the birds. Carry on, absurd and accidental atoms beating air. Carrying on, unwitting orphan of an unyielding despair. But linger on, just for a moment until we can ascertain if something's wrong with me or the assumptions of these self-indicted brains. 'Cause I contend that all of this is more than just a meaningless charade. Each and every moment is a bottle with a message hid away. If anything means anything, there must be something meant for us to be. A song that we were made to sing. There must be so much more than we can see. But all our lives we've been treading paper and the space between the words. And there implies the thought that we are barely more than bodies for the birds. Carry on, they say, we're just accidental atoms beating air. Carrying on, unwitting orphans of an unyielding despair. But our hearts tell a different story. Our hands feel a different pulse. If anything means anything, there must be something meant for us to be. A song that we were made to sing. There must be so much more than we can see. Something fathomless. Deeper than our pride can dive. Numinous, higher than our hearts can rise. Transcendent, farther than our thoughts can reach. Immanent, closer than the air we breathe. That's Treading Paper. And when I discovered that song, I was like, wow. Wow. And it all brings me back, makes me wonder what we're doing here. And all the people that I've known. Thank you. A fake sneeze. All the people that I've known and the lives that they've lived. So what do we amount to when we're gone? What do we have left? What have we given? The people we've lost? What did we learn from them? Because if we didn't learn anything, what did their lives have to show for it? So, my point is, it's up to us to carry on their wisdom, their experience, all the things that they accomplished, that they strived for. we each had one singular purpose, we, as a community, could still do something great. We could all put in our purpose, and in the event we can't fulfill our own purpose, look around. We have each other to help. And for those of us that are gone, we simply need to ask, what did I learn from them? What would I have been if it weren't for them? And I, Lord help me, I am going to be a father. Does that make sense to any of you? So, it's up to me. It's up to me. It's up to me to show my kids, to teach my kids the things that my grandpa can't. Even the things that my own dad can't. And all the people we've lost. But that's about it. Just understand, not everyone will believe they have a purpose. And remember that when we talk to them and we try to tell them, everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a place. It might not be defined. You can make your own place if you need to. And since I'm up here, I was going to ask if any, I see a couple of dads, have any things they want to throw at me, because I would like to know what are some things that you guys discovered along the way that you might have wished you'd known before you got there, because I'm right there. Please help me. I guess you can just tell me after. That'll be fine. Yeah, we got tons of time now if you want to do it now, but Eddie, your dad. What do you good job, Ben. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of fatherhood at its best? Just be a dad. Gary?
Kind of the same thing. Be part of their life. Don't be the absentee dad.
Don't be the absentee dad. Joe, your kids are diabolical. I'm passing over you. Brent? I might have a daughter. I might have a daughter, Brent. Help me. I don't think I can. Say that again.
You'll understand God's love.
All right. Anyone else got anything to throw at me? Joe? We'll help each other out. Thank you for coming, and I hope you learned something. I know I did.